Today on More to Life, Frustration Nation. Fed up with that persistent problem or irritating person? Tired of letting it bring out the worst in you? We'll help you respond gracefully. 877-573-7825. All of us want a great and grace-filled marriage, family, personal life. St. John Paul's Theology of the Body gives us a blueprint for making that happen.
More to life. Happy couples find little ways to say I do every day.
Faithful insights. Effective tools.
Raising godly kids requires more than stopping bad behavior.
That's right. It means finding ways to make our faith the source of the warmth in our homes.
Practical. Theology of the Body-based answers for every part of your life.
God gave us our feelings. We don't have to be afraid of them.
And we just have to make sure that the first thing we do is ask Him how He wants us to deal with it.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to life.
Good morning, everyone. You're listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, Frustration Nation. Are you fed up with that persistent problem you're having to deal with? That irritating person you can't seem to figure out how to respond to gracefully? Well, if you are tired of letting those situations bring out the worst in you, we want to help you discover ways to respond gracefully and get past the frustration that you're feeling. The number, 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. Join the conversation.
Well, I'll tell you what, I can hear in my head a bunch of our listeners going, yeah, right, Popchak, sure, there's a way to get over this frustration. You have no idea how frustrating these people or this situation is. I have had it, I can't do it anymore, and you telling me I can get over it is just making me more frustrated and angry. And we get that. When you're in a situation where you feel like you're spinning your wheels, you just know it's going to happen again, you can't see the way out of it, it does make us frustrated, which then makes us angry, and it also makes us feel helpless and defeated and like there's nothing we can do, which brings us back to the frustration. But that's not what God wants for us. He doesn't want us stuck in that helpless place. Satan does, but God himself does not. And there are ways to begin to break out of that frustration little by little so it stops sucking the joy out of your life and your relationships.
And that's what we're going to be talking about for this next hour. And we hope that you'll be joining the conversation at 877-573-7825. Call up and share. You know, where are you feeling frustrated right now? Maybe you're dealing with a persistent personal challenge, a relationship issue in your marriage, your parenting life, your extended family. Maybe you're dealing with some family problems, especially as we're coming up on the Thanksgiving holiday, or a work situation that you'd like some answers for. Maybe you keep running into a frustrating pattern in your life or relationships that you'd like help breaking free of. You know, what would be different if you stopped looking at frustration as a sign of failure or of being stuck, and instead saw it as an invitation from the Holy Spirit to learn new ways of dealing with that problem? We're going to talk more about that in just a minute. Well, let's figure out the next steps together at 877-573-7825. Once again, that number, 877-573-7825. It's no fun feeling frustrated. Let us help you get past it and enable you to find the solutions that your heart is longing for. 877-573-7825.
Well, and I think, Eric, you know, since you mentioned that Thanksgiving's coming up, I really think that we have to acknowledge that this time of year, when we're going into the holiday season, one celebration after another, when something is frustrating us, when there is an issue, and suddenly the whole world is saying, it's time to be joyful, it's time to celebrate, it's time to have fun, that can kind of throw salt in the wound of all of this. Because just because the holidays are coming, and yes, there's through the Advent season and Christmas season, there's a lot of extra graces to be had when we truly celebrate that. But it can make us feel more stuck, more frustrated, like nobody gets it, and suddenly it's all supposed to be just lovely. And we feel isolated then. And that adds to our frustration and the complications and our feelings of, maybe I shouldn't address it now. Maybe the holidays will just fix it. Maybe it'll all be fine. And then we come out the other end, not so fine. So let's talk about it now. Let's get ahead of it and help you deal with it, especially in the upcoming holiday season, but for every day of your life.
877-573-7825. Jinx, I always so. All right. Well, every day on More to Life, we take a look at the topic of the day through the lens of St. John Paul's theology of the body. And if you're wondering, well, how could some theology help me deal with frustration? Well, I'm glad you asked. So, St. John Paul, when he was Pope, asked a really big question. Basically, he said, you know, if we took everything God's given us, creation, salvation history, scripture, all of it, what universal principles could we discern about God's plan for human flourishing and healthy, holy relationships? And his answer to that question became what we call the theology of the body.
Now, the theology of the body reminds us that God created our whole person, our body, mind, and emotions, to work for our good and the good of others. That's how it's created. But when we feel frustrated or annoyed, most of us try to ignore it, repress it, or shame ourselves for having the feeling in the first place. Now, the theology of the body says that every part of us, including our feelings, even frustration, carries a godly intention just waiting to be discovered.
Yeah, so instead of seeing frustration as something bad or even sinful, the theology of the body invites us to see it as the Holy Spirit tugging on our sleeve, saying, hold up, let's talk about this. Let's make a plan. You know, frustration is a sign that we need to stop trying to handle something on our own power and with our own limited perspective. Frustration is a call from the Holy Spirit to ask God to teach us how to respond to a problem we're facing in a new, more effective, grace-filled way.
And that's where patience comes in. Patience is an antidote to frustration, but I don't mean the passive, just suck it up and deal with it kind of patience. St. John Chrysostom actually called that an unreasonable patience, which he said was a hotbed of many vices, because it leads to all kinds of problems, and it also keeps us stuck.
But real godly patience is actually active. It gives us the ability to step back, to take stock of the fruit our efforts are bearing so far, or not, for that matter, and then, through grace, make a smarter plan moving forward. This kind of patience is what keeps us from doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result.
It helps us to say, what have I tried? What progress have I made? What support or resources do I need? And where can I go from here?
So when we approach frustration that way, it stops being an obstacle and instead becomes an invitation from God to work with him to make things better, one intentional, grace-powered step at a time. So we want to help you look at those frustrating situations in that light and enable you to identify those next steps toward the solutions that God has in his heart for you. So give us a call. The show today is titled Frustration Nation, as we talk about dealing with those persistent problems or irritating people that bring out the worst in us. We want to help you overcome that frustration and start finding the answers you're looking for. 877-573-7825. Let's take our concerns to the Lord, and then we'll start taking your calls. In the name of the Father,
the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, we come into your presence, and we bring to you those frustrating people and situations where we feel like we've tried everything, and we just keep beating our head into that wall in the hopes the next time the door will open, and it just never seems to. Help us instead to step back, to prayerfully take stock of the fruit our efforts are bearing so far, and perhaps not bearing so far, and help us to get the support, the wisdom, the help that we need to see the problem through your eyes and start walking the path you would have us walk so that we can break through the barriers and the frustration and find the solutions that you have in your heart for us. Lead us and guide us, Lord, step by step, so that even in the difficult situations we find ourselves, when we feel frustrated, we can use those as opportunities to let your glory be born in our lives and to draw closer to you. We ask all this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and in the name of the Father,
the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
Today on More to Life, the show is titled Frustration Nation, as we talk about those persistent problems or irritating people that kind of bring out the worst in us and make us feel frustrated. How can we respond to that frustration, not as a sign of our failure or as a sign that we need to settle, but rather as an invitation from the Holy Spirit to step back and ask Him to lead us in new ways to deal with those problems? 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Kathy, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Mississippi.
Hi, Kathy. Welcome to More to Life. How can we help you out?
Good morning. Well, I never listened to you. I always listen to the Catholic Channel, but I turned y'all on this morning.
And well, I'm so glad to have you over here on EWTN. No, we love talking to you.
It hit home as soon as I heard frustration that people cause you. And one of the worst frustrations is someone that you love with all your heart, your son. And my son is going through a divorce. He has two small children. And he is so frustrating to me that each conversation that he and I have ends up in him getting mad and using profanity and just wanting to ignore. And I, in turn, it just makes me want to withdraw. And I say things such as, I'm done. And I'll never be done with y'all.
Well, of course, because he's your child. But, Kathy, it says on our board here, you're saying he's going through a divorce. But on the board, it says that he's an active drug addict. Is that true?
Not. He is active. I don't know. He has had recovery. He's had issues before. He says he's in recovery. But as recent as 6 months ago, he failed a drug test. So therefore, my husband and I have to have visits. He has supervised visits that my husband and I have to be present. We're the ones that pick up 5-year-old and 8-year-old. And the children.
Okay, that's what I was going to ask, how old the children are.
Yeah.
So how can we help you, Kathy? There's a lot of pieces to this problem. So what is it that you'd like us to focus on specifically
well,
here?
Well, the problem is how not to get frustrated to him, because I will, we want to see our grandchildren, and we will continue to be involved. But when he continues to lie or to say, I'll be there, and then he's not, it's very frustrating to me, and I lash out.
So when you're there and he's not, are you not able to see the kids then because he doesn't show up for visitation? Is that what you're saying?
Well, we pick the children up, but then the children are asking, when will my daddy be here? When will my,
I mean,
they want to be with us, but they also want to see their
daddy.
They want their daddy. Sure they do.
So, and when you confront him with this, what happens? What does he say?
This isn't the time to talk about that. You know, you always just bring things up, you know. Why can't it be peaceful?
So he deflects it. He doesn't want to actually look at it and come up with a plan to do better.
Okay.
Absolutely.
So when you say, how can I not get frustrated? The frustration itself is not the problem. The problem is the problem, right? You're frustrated because you don't know how to get him to be responsible and to, you know, be there for his kids or to be the person that you want him to be.
Because that's an injustice. He's doing an injustice to himself by harming himself with drugs. He's doing an injustice to his marriage, which now has to be dissolved because of the addiction. And he's continually, over and over again, hurting his young children. And you two, as his parents, are having your hearts put through the chipper shredder. Injustice is something that is not in right order with God's plan, and we're allowed to be frustrated with that.
So what the theme of the show really isn't how to not feel frustrated anymore. It's how to respond to that frustration in a more proactive way. Right? And so frustration comes from us doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. Right. So what you want to be doing here is saying, you know, I have to acknowledge that my son is an addict. And because he's an addict, he's going to be unpredictable. And because he's unpredictable, I can't assume that he's going to be there when he says he's going to be there. I can't trust his promises. I have to have those backup plans, or I have to have those ways to respond when the kids ask, where's daddy? And these are bigger questions than we can get into in the show. But I think this is a sign that it's time to take a different approach. And when we asked you, is he an addict? You said, well, I don't know. He is. I mean, if he's failing drug tests at work, if he's not showing up for his visitations, if he's not following through on promises, he's erratic because he's using. And so recognizing that, and I think even getting some counseling help for yourself and your husband to know how to deal with your son and set the kind of appropriate boundaries that would allow you to stop feeling like you're setting yourselves up and the kids up for failure because you're trusting this guy, your son, to follow through with things. But that doesn't recognize that he's actually dealing with an addiction problem. And so being able to get the support you need to learn how to approach an addict and hold that addict responsible and not set yourself up for frustration and not set the kids up for disappointment, but and hold him accountable are going to be really important things that would be a different focus than what you've been having right now. Up until now, you've been just trying to sort of saying to yourself, yes, my son is struggling, he has some issues, but he's still my son and I can trust him, or I should be able to trust him. And that's what's setting you up. And so what I want you to be able to do to take from this call is really reconcile with the fact that he is dealing with an addiction problem. He is an addict, and he's behaving like an addict. And you're going to need to learn how to deal with him as an addict, which means going to groups like Al-Anon, for example, for yourself, or getting counseling for yourself and your husband to know how to deal more effectively with him and set the kind of appropriate boundaries that would enable you to confront him more directly with the real core of the problem.
Now, in all honesty, you don't say what the situation is with your daughter-in-law, but if she's trusting you to be the supervising people there when the children's dad, your son, wants to see them, it sounds like there's some rapport there. And if I were you, I'd also lean very heavily into that, Kathy. I would get in touch with her and just say, look, you know, we're really trying to reconcile with the fact that he is an addict and he's not really working to change this. I want to be the family that you and the kids need. And if you want to go to family counseling with us, we will be there. We will do this. Let's figure out together with a professional how to form a family that will support you and the children emotionally and give the kids as much as they can possibly get from all of us to shore them up for a good future.
But the takeaway, you know, whatever you decide to do in that front, the takeaway from this call is you need to really reckon with the fact that your son is dealing with a serious addiction problem, which is why he's being so erratic, which is why he's being irresponsible, which is why he's not following through. And until that addiction problem gets identified and dealt with, you're going to have to keep dealing with this. And so that's the frustration that you're feeling. The goal here is not to get over the frustration. The goal here is to see the frustration as a sign that God wants to approach this problem differently and to really reckon with the depth of the struggle that he's facing and then begin to address that core issue. Kathy, if there's more that we can do to support you, don't hesitate to reach out to us here again on the show or reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com to learn more about our pastoral counseling practice where we can work with you to help you know how to really hold your son accountable and be a healthy part of this system instead of continuing to kind of set yourself up for frustration and disappointment. You can learn more at CatholicCounselors.com. Thanks for tuning in to us today, and we hope that you'll continue tuning in to us every day, Monday through Friday at 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 Central, right here on More to Life. And we're taking your calls, listeners, at 877-573-7825. Today's show is titled Frustration Nation, as we talk about those times when we are fed up with those persistent problems or irritating people that we have to keep dealing with, and you keep kind of beating your head into that wall, hoping that a door will magically appear if you just knock your head one more time. Well, and if that's not happening, we are here to help at 877-573-7825. When we come back, in addition to taking your calls, we'll be joined by Rachel Isaac, who is a pastoral counselor with CatholicCounselors.com. She's going to be sharing some insights for how to overcome that feeling of powerlessness that often accompanies frustration. Stick around for that and a whole lot more when More to Life continues after the break.
You like pizza? Me too. And for that, we can thank our friend Tom Monahan. First, he starts with $900 and opens one pizza shop. Then it's worldwide, thousands of shops. But all this was just a warm-up for his greatest achievement yet. He built a university.
God inspired Tom to build up generations of men and women who have a hunger to reach the world for Christ. This place is Ave Maria University.
Visit avemaria.edu to see what's next.
Are you feeling overwhelmed lately, carrying burdens no one else seems to see?
You're not alone. And this Giving Tuesday, Ave Maria Radio wants to offer you a special gift.
On December 2nd, we're dedicating a special Mass and lifting up the prayer intentions of our entire radio family.
You've been there for us, helping us proclaim the gospel and share God's love with others.
And now we want to be there for you.
So visit AveMariaRadio.net to share your prayer requests.
And on December 2nd, let's lift each other up in hope.
As we approach Thanksgiving, a time to gather with loved ones, we're reminded of our responsibility to safeguard their future. Life's uncertainties can arise without warning, and without a clear legal plan, your wishes may go unfulfilled, leaving your family unprotected. At mycatholicwill.com/ave, you can create your will at no cost for the privacy of your home. The process is straightforward. Go to mycatholicwill.com/AVE and prioritize your family's peace of mind.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today's show is titled Frustration Nation, as we talk about those persistent problems and irritating people that bring out the worst in us. We want to help you respond gracefully. Deep cleansing breath. 877-573-7825. Joining us right now, Rachel Isaac. She is a pastoral counselor with CatholicCounselors.com, where she specializes in the psychology of success and directs our program in performance excellence, where she works with Catholic athletes, performers, executives, and other folks who need to be their best under pressure. Rachel, welcome to More to Life.
Thank you for having me.
Well, you know, one of the things that accompanies frustration is this sort of feeling of powerlessness. And you wanted to speak to how to overcome that sense of powerlessness and stuckness when we feel frustrated.
Yeah, you know, when frustration comes up, we often just feel blocked or stuck in some way. And because of that, it is easy to kind of quickly feel powerless and reactive in those situations. But frustration isn't a sign that you're failing. It's a sign that something inside you needs attention. So to move through frustration instead of getting overwhelmed by it, there are a few practical and empowering steps that we can start using today. So first, before reacting, give your body a chance to reset. Take a slow deep breath, unclench your jaw, drop your shoulders. Just that tiny pause interrupts the emotional spiral and lets that thinking part of our brain come back online. So even just a micro pause can honestly change the entire tone of the moment. Next, name the need under the feeling. Every frustrating moment has a root. You know, are you overwhelmed, overtired, maybe feeling unheard, maybe needing help? You know, when you name what's underneath, your nervous system starts to settle because our brains love clarity. So it shifts us out of react mode and into respond mode. So try asking yourself, what's the need this frustration is pointing me towards? Or even praying, Lord, help me recognize the need that you've placed in my heart. Then ask yourself, what does better look like, and what is one small step that I can take to move towards it? Frustration gets us stuck in focusing on what we don't want, which that just fuels that sense of powerlessness. But when we shift to focusing on what we do want, our thinking brain can engage and can help us feel empowered to take practical action. So when you're feeling frustrated, don't give in to that powerless feeling. Pause, name your need, and take a practical step towards what better looks like.
And I think being able to walk those steps that you're just outlining really, again, helps us to respond differently to frustration. As we were saying with our previous caller, you know, when we're feeling frustrated, we'd like to not feel that, of course, but the goal isn't so much to stop feeling frustrated. The goal is to respond differently to that frustration, and instead of just seeing it, like you said, as a sign of failure, seeing it as an invitation to bring that problem to God and then walk through those steps that enable us to break it down and see it from a different perspective and move forward in a new way. And I really love the way that you've enabled us to, you know, break those things down and start to see what does better look like and start identifying what should we walk toward. Rachel, thanks so much for being with us. Always a pleasure to talk with you. And if folks would like to learn more about your good work, I encourage them to check out our program in performance excellence at CatholicCounselors.com. where you work with Catholic athletes, performers, executives, and other folks who need to be their best under pressure. Again, you can learn more about all of that at CatholicCounselors.com. Thanks again for being with us today, Rachel. Have a great weekend.
Thanks for having me.
And we are taking your calls, listeners, at 877-573-7825. Are you frustrated about a persistent problem or a particularly irritating person that you have to contend with? Remember, frustration isn't a sign that you failed. It's an invitation from the Holy Spirit to step back and identify some new ways forward. Let us help you do that today on More to Life at 877-573-7825. Back with more of your questions after this.
Steve and Janet Ray here, announcing our pilgrimage to charming Ireland and its rich Catholic heritage. The shrines are nestled in the quaint Emerald Isle. Lovely people, marvelous food, sweeping vistas. Everyone's favorite is Mass at Our Lady of Knock and its Eucharistic apparition. We hope you can join us in August, along with our Irish chaplain, Father James Conlon.
To learn more about your Ave Maria Radio trip, find the Ave Maria Radio travel tab at AveMariaRadio.net.
In the Annals of Prayer, why is Elijah such an important figure? Elijah is the father of the prophets, the Catholic Catechism tells us. The mission of the prophets was to educate the people of God so that they might experience conversion of the heart rather than merely participating in the ritual practices of religion. St. James, in referring to Elijah, says, "The prayer of the righteous is powerful and effective." This is affirmed when Elijah asks God to restore the life of the son of a widow, and the Lord hears and answers Elijah's prayer. On Mount Carmel, Elijah challenges 450 prophets of Baal to a prayer duel before all the Israelites. Baal proves to be a false god, giving no answer to pleas from his prophets, while the God of Israel proves to be the true God by producing in response to Elijah's intercessory prayer a mighty fire to consume the Holocaust. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Maybe you've been hearing a lot about the need to make a spiritual communion while participating from home in a live-streamed or broadcast Mass. By asking for spiritual communion, we are acknowledging that the Holy Mass is the perfect, best way to worship God. The priest intercedes perfectly for us with God the Father because he acts in persona Christi. This is the time to see that through the priest's representation of Christ's sacrifice on Calvary, we are never separated from our Lord. Jesus, I embrace you and unite myself wholly to you.
Hi, I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. Anxiety is such a commonplace experience that we often feel like there's something wrong with us when we aren't feeling anxious. We wonder what new threat to our security or peace we're missing. But how do you know whether you're experiencing normal garden variety stress and anxiety, or whether you're struggling with something more serious? Has anxiety become a regular part of your life? Does it impact your performance at work, or make it harder to enjoy your relationships, or prevent you from having the energy to do the things you used to enjoy? These are good signs it's time to seek professional help. People often wait years before getting appropriate counseling help, and by then the problem's been allowed to grow into something that's having a serious impact on your life, career, and relationships. Anxiety is very treatable, and a vast majority of people who seek help get better. If you're ready to win your battle against anxiety, check out my book, Unworried, or visit CatholicCounselors.com.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today's show is titled Frustration Nation. We talk about those persistent problems and irritating people that tend to bring out the worst in us. If you are tired of managing those situations and you're looking for a different way to approach those problems, we are here to help. Give us a call. The number is 877-573-7825. Again, 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Mary, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Minnesota.
Mary, welcome to More to Life. What can we do for you?
Hi, thank you. I'm calling with a question about kind of how to better lead my family during my days with my 4-year-old, 3-year-old, and 1-year-old. I'm a stay-at-home mom. And sometimes I feel like I want to, like, be the leader in the home, but sometimes it's like, oh, like, they're kind of just guiding what we do, sort of. Like, oh, I want to play outside, but I was doing dishes, or I want to do this, you know? And, like, how do I better make sure I'm still meeting their needs? Like, if they need to get outside and get some energy out, but at the same time, not necessarily just following the whims of the wind.
Sure. So what makes you feel like you can't take charge? What's kind of getting in the way there in your head?
I feel like sometimes it's just sort of happens. So like, I'm there doing the dishes, and then the girls are, my two girls, they're quite sort of a duo, you know, a team. And then it's just like, oh, let's go outside. And they just run out the door together, and then I have to follow them.
Is there no lock on the door?
Well, they know how to unlock it, too.
Yeah, they're too young for that. You need a lock that's way up high so they can't do that. Here's the thing. I totally get it. When you've got little ones in the house, their emotions, whether they're really happy or really sad or really angry or really whiny, they just provoke something in us as moms that make us feel like we have to respond and fix it right now. We've got to do what they tell us to do. I really encourage you, and I remember going through something similar to this when my first kids were little. One of the wonderful things that God revealed to me was one day when I was walking past our church, I was walking past the school of our church, and I happened to peek into the preschool room, and I saw the daily schedule on the wall. And I went, wait a minute, I know what I'm doing. Why don't I do something like this? So it's not that they can't get outside. It's that you want to actually go online, look up, you know, daily schedules for kids this age if they were in daycare or in preschool. And you don't have to do it in a military way, but it'll give you an idea of, okay, I'm going to create a rhythm for my children's day. So we're going to get up, we're going to get dressed, then we're going to have a nice breakfast, then you decide what, you know, we're all going to clean up together, and then we'll have some story time, or we'll go outside for a half an hour, and it's timed out to a point. And so you can say to them, oh, honey, good, we are going to go outside after mommy finishes the dishes, or after we have our story time, but you're going to create a flow for the day so you're not feeling like, oh my gosh, I'm not going to fit this in unless I do it right now.
The other thing, I mean, sort of, Lisa's absolutely right in terms of practically speaking, you having to set that schedule. But I think on an emotional level, you've fallen into a trap that a lot of parents fall into now, which is that you have to convince the children to respect your authority, instead of just saying, I am the authority in the house, and it's my job to set the tone and to set the schedule.
And they want that from us, but they don't. When you're saying, Greg, I want to just clear this up, you're not saying authority in that, like, we're going to do what I say. our children want our leadership. They don't want to be living in chaos, and they don't want to be leading everything. So they want
right.
you to just be able to put in place that, of course, I'm the authority. I'm your mom. This is what we do.
That's right. But the problem with saying it that way, right, is that in Mary's case, you know, she said, well, I'm washing the dishes right now. The kids, she's saying, would just run right out the door.
Well, okay. The authority and so there is to make sure they can't do it.
Well, that's my point, is
right.
that you, Mary, you have to give yourself that permission to say, I'm going to put an eye hook on the door so they can't get out. Right, because it's not safe for a 4-year-old to run out of the house ahead of me. You know, if I'm going to give myself permission to say, no, this is what's happening now. And if you want to go outside, we'll go outside after I'm done with the dishes, or after we clean up the room and put away all of our toys together, and then we'll go outside and do this. It's your job to claim that authority, and a lot of parents now really believe they can't do that because it will upset the kids, and then somehow that violates gentle parenting rules. We're good proponents of a gentler approach to parenting, but not to the degree that you surrender your authority. You're a proper authority as a mom who has the right to kind of set the tone and set the agenda, and your kids need that in order to feel safe. So I want to encourage you to give yourself permission to say, this is what we're going to do now. And because this is what the time is for that thing, and you follow what Lisa was suggesting in terms of creating an actual schedule and a rhythm for your day, and then you include their needs in that, their need for play, whether that's play outside or play in the house or whatever, but also include the time that you're going to work together in putting the dishes away, or you're going to work together in putting the toys away, or you're going to work together in even folding laundry, so that your kids are with you contributing to the best of their ability at their age level to the orderly nature of the house, because you've set the parameters that enable that to happen.
And you're teaching them these skills. So you need to be teaching them, no, we never go outside without mommy, ever. That is dangerous. When we are outside, we walk in a group. If we are in the store, you are holding my hand, or you're holding my belt loop, or you're holding onto the cart, but you don't just run off ever, because that is dangerous. And you train them in that. You train them how to help you with the dishes. You show them how to fold clothes several times till they learn how to do it. You make it as, pleasant as you can when you're doing things together, but you're training them to contribute, to listen to you, to have good behavior, not with punishment, but just being there and teaching the skills.
And so, Mary, I'm guessing that this is a different way of thinking about parenting than you have in the past. And so I think you can run with the suggestions that we're making, but I would love to be able to support you in this every day. And so I'm going to encourage you to become part of the Catholic Home Community. That's Catholic H-O-M. It stands for Households on Mission. It's an app. You can get the app wherever you get your apps. And when you're on Catholic Home, H-O-M, Lisa and I and our whole team of pastoral counselors and coaches are on the app interacting with subscribers every day, providing parent coaching for these kinds of situations that come up. You know, your kids are frustrating you. You type in the question, you get an answer. Plus tons of creative resources to help you build a more loving, caring, connected, peaceful Catholic family life, and experience the faith as a source of the warmth in your home. It's a whole community of faithful Catholic parents who are working together to build those strong, loving domestic churches that you're talking about wanting to be able to be the leader of. So we'd love to help you claim that authority in a way that doesn't cause you to be authoritarian, but rather really authoritative. You know, confident, calm, and orderly, being able to lead your kids to a more peaceful place and an encounter with Christ's love in your home every day. If that sounds like something you'd be interested in, I really encourage you to subscribe to the Catholic HOM community. That's Households on Mission. Download the app and subscribe wherever you get your apps, and we'll continue the conversation there. But thanks so much for reaching out to us today, Mary. I hope that these suggestions will help you overcome some of that frustration that you've been feeling because you haven't been able to feel confident in claiming that authority as a godly mom. And we're taking your calls at 877-573-7825. Today's show is titled Frustration Nation, as we talk about those times when we are fed up with that persistent problem or that irritating person, and we need some new ways to approach those old problems. Again, that's 877-573-7825. And as we head out to our break, it's time for our scripture of the day, which comes to us from Romans chapter 8, verse 26.
The Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought, but the Spirit itself intercedes through the ache in our hearts.
And St. Paul is really talking about exactly what we're describing here. You know, that ache in our hearts, the frustration that we're feeling, that is not a sign for us to keep doing the same thing we've always done and hope for a different result this time. It's not a sign that we've failed. It's a sign that the Holy Spirit is tugging on our sleeves saying, hey, come here, step back. Let's pray about this together. Let's make a plan. Let's get some help. Let's find a new way to approach this problem so that you can cooperate more effectively with my grace. That's what St. Paul's really talking about. Even when we don't know what to do or how to pray as we ought, by bringing that concern to the Lord and asking him to lead us and guide us, he'll walk us through step by step. We want to be part of that process for you today on More to Life. Give us a call at 877-573-7825, and we'll help you identify those next steps in the face of those frustrating people and problems you're contending with. 877-573-7825. Back with me.
Hello, I'm Marianne Kuharski with Pro-Life Across America. Did you know that a billboard can save a baby's life? When our billboards and radio ads are running, we receive hundreds of calls from those seeking pregnancy information and support. Every caller is connected to a local center offering free ultrasound and confidential counseling. Won't you join us in this life-saving effort? Donate today and help us do more. No gift is too small. That's prolifeacrossamerica.org.
You like pizza? Me too. And for that, we can thank our friend, Tom Monahan. First, he starts with $900 and opens one pizza shop. Then it's worldwide, thousands of shops. But all this was just a warm-up for his greatest achievement yet. He built a university.
God inspired Tom to build up generations of men and women who have a hunger to reach the world for Christ. This place is Ave Maria University.
Visit avemaria.edu to see what's next.
He was a pope, a saint, and a doctor of the church.
Matthew Bunsen and the Doctors of the Church.
Pope St. Gregory I the Great is one of only four popes honored as the Great. Among his many achievements was sending missionaries across Northern Europe, especially St. Augustine of Canterbury, who brought Christ to the people of England. In a pun, Pope Gregory called the English people angels. He died in 604.
For more about the Doctors of the Church, visit doctorsofthechurch.com.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
Want more tips for living a more joyful, abundant life through the gift of the theology of the body?
Well, and follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Twitter and Instagram at Catholic Counselors. We'll see you there.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today's show is titled Frustration Nation, as we talk about dealing with those persistent problems or irritating people that tend to bring out the worst in us. If you're looking for some new ways to deal with those people and problems, we're here to help. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk to our next caller who's listening to EWTN Radio in Texas on Guadalupe Radio.
Hey, listener, welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Hello. I don't know where to start, but I'm at the point where my parents are, their marriage is kind of deteriorating, and I do strongly believe they need to go into counseling, but I'm trying to figure out how do I approach the subject where I can convince at least one, if not both of them, that this is what needs to happen. And I don't know where to really direct them to go.
Okay, so let me ask, first of all, what's been your role in this so far? Like, are you the person that they both call and complain to, or what's kind of been, how has this been playing out for you?
No, I'm one of six siblings, so like this is it's a family thing that's been going on here, and just there's been with one parent there's a lack of communication, and the other parent, there's been a non-openness to listen or to compromise. So,
I see.
And I'm just kind of on the sidelines.
Sure. Okay, I understand. And so you're looking for both how to confront them with this, and also maybe where to send them once they've agreed to go, if they have agreed to go. Is that what I'm hearing?
Correct.
You say?
So I'm still their son, but I'm also an adult in this thing as well. So I am treading a bit of a fine rope here.
Sure.
Well, tell me more about that. I mean, what do you see as the concern in bringing this up to them?
Well, I know with one parent that they're not really open to most of what I say, and that's partly on my own account from bad decisions, things like that. But the other one, where I bring it up, and they say, well, the other parent won't agree to that, and that's summarily dismissed as an impossibility. But
are they both faithful? Are they faithful Catholics, yes. Or is it they are? So the faith is important to both of them?
Yeah. Okay. And you're mentioning that you're one of six. Have all six of you ever had a private conversation about approaching them together? Are you all in agreement that they really do need some help to save their marriage and your family?
I'm not sure about. As far as I can only speak for myself.
So you've never talked to them about what you're seeing?
Only to like one other sibling, but like they're, even the siblings are divided on it too, where it's this disconnect in the marriage has resulted in a bit of a division in the family.
Okay.
Even though we're all faithful, we're still trying to follow the gospel message.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. All right. So thank you for the question. So there is some strength in numbers. So if there are other siblings who would be willing to either confront your folks with you, or at least be able to support the message that they need help, it would be good to get some of your other siblings on board. That said, I'm going to give you some suggestions on moving forward here, but I also want to caution you that you're not your family's savior, right? It's not your job to save your folks' marriage. You know, sometimes as adult children, we can feel like, you know, I have to fix this for them. It's my responsibility to convince them to do the thing. All we can ever do is invite people to be healthy. We can invite them to do healthy things, but we can't make them do it. Because even God can't make us do things, right? He respects our free will. He shows us how to live. He's done everything that he possibly can to show us what it takes to live a more abundant life by following him. But we have to choose to walk that path. And the same thing is true of your parents. So I want to let that pressure off a little bit. But yes, by all means, if you can get some of your other siblings to either join you in this or at least support you in it, so much the better. In confronting them directly, you know, again, don't worry so much about how it lands. Worry more about giving the invitation. You're not responsible for how they respond to the invitation. You're responsible for giving the invitation. And being able to go to your mom and your dad and saying, you know, guys, I love you with all of my heart, but this isn't okay. You know, you raised us to be able to see what's good and what's godly and what's healthy. And you're not living by the things that you taught us.
And you made sacramental promises to one another. You are living in a sacramental marriage, and you're not doing the work that is required to keep the sacrament as it should be. And if there was any other sacrament, you're saying to mom and dad, because they're Catholic, right? You're saying if any other sacrament that you saw, if you went to church and the priest was kind of like playing fast and loose with consecration, God forbid, you'd be irate. You would want the priest to change. You would want the bishop to do something. You're not really working on the sacrament that you raised us to have, that you promised to each other. And there's lots of great help out there to help you do that and to help you be happy again and live in a respectful, wonderful relationship with each other.
If your father pushes back and says, well, because you know, you're one to talk because of this choice that you made, or this one, you know, this is why we're suggesting approaching it this way, because you're saying, I know I've made mistakes, Dad, and you've helped me see that, and I'm grateful to you for that, but you are not living up to the things that you've taught me, and I'm reminding you of that, and I'm calling you as a brother in Christ, because, you know, you're not just his son, you're a brother in Christ, you're
right.
An adult. As a brother in Christ, I am calling you to live up to the things that you've tried to teach me and the things that you've said before God and the church that you are willing to do. And you're not living up to this sacrament of marriage and doing the work that the sacrament is asking you to do. And I'm challenging you as your son and as a brother in Christ to do better.
Now, I would say approach them together, because you don't want to triangulate them. You don't want them to think that you're talking behind the other one's back, or give them a chance to say, well, I would accept your other parent, blah, blah, blah. If you talk to them together, they can't do that.
But if you do talk to them separately, and then you get the, well, the other parent won't do this and such, what I want you to tell that parent is that if you're working with a competent marriage counselor who is actually trained in what's called systems theory, it doesn't matter whether the other parent will participate or not. If that one parent who's willing to start is willing to go to counseling, that counselor can start teaching them things to do to start changing the dynamic all on their own. Because with systems theory, it teaches people how to see how they participate in an unhealthy system and what they can begin to do to change that system, even if the other people in the system don't want it to change. Now, in order to make this work, you can't just go to any old counselor who, quote-unquote, sees couples, you know, or who also works with couples. You've got to work with somebody who's been trained and who has had supervision in marriage and family therapy. So to that end, all of our team members at CatholicCounselors.com, are pastoral counselors who have that kind of training. We work with folks, Catholics all over the world, in helping them to confront these kinds of issues in a faithful way, which is one of the reasons I was asking how important their faith was to them. So if you'd like to refer them to us through CatholicCounselors.com, you certainly can. But if you'd like to have them work with somebody locally, then getting in touch with somebody who is trained through the American Association of Marriage and Family Therapy. Those are folks who actually have the training and supervision to be able to do this kind of work. A lot of therapists are just individual therapists who also happen to see couples. Their success rate tends to be around 20-30%, where therapists who've been trained in marriage and family therapy have a success rate closer to 80-90%. So that kind of training is really important, to work with somebody who actually has experience with couples, not just I've seen couples over the course of my career.
And experience and training in systems therapy.
All right. So that's how you want to confront them directly. You want to confront them faithfully. You know, you want to let them know that even if one parent isn't willing to go, it's worth starting as long as you're working with the right person. And in terms of finding resources, if you want to find somebody locally, go to the AAMFT website and look for local resources, or you can contact us at CatholicCounselors.com to learn more about our pastoral counseling practice, where we work with lots of Catholic couples to help them find faithful ways to respond to these sorts of challenges. And again, we do a lot of solo marriage therapy, where we will start with one spouse when the other spouse is reluctant to join, and we'll teach them how to set the kind of boundaries they need to set or build the rapport that they need to build to bring the other spouse to the table and get them both working on it. But thank you so much for the question, and if there's more that we can do to support you or your folks, don't hesitate to reach out to us. We are here for you. You know, we've got just a couple minutes left, but so I want to just summarize some of the main points from what we've been discussing here. You know, if you're feeling frustrated about something, the frustration itself isn't the problem. The question isn't, how can I stop feeling frustrated, right? The frustration is a sign that something is not working the way God intended it to work, and you keep doing the same thing over and over again and expecting to get a different result. That's what frustration means. So you take that frustration and you step back from what you're doing. And you say, okay, God, teach me how to view this situation through your eyes and show me how I can respond to this situation differently. And as you're praying through that, if you don't know, then that's a sign that God is asking you to seek help from people who might know, who would give you a new perspective or some new tools or new techniques or new ideas, so that you can break that situation down and do what Rachel was talking about in her next segment, where she was talking about asking what would better look like, and what's one small step I can take to moving toward that. Because we often forget to really think about what would better be. We just think we need to make this thing stop. Right? And if I just keep applying pressure, maybe that thing will stop. What are we working toward? And what are some small steps that we would need to take to get there? And then, what do I need to do to start walking those simple steps? And again, if you're not able to do it on your own, that's where God is reminding us that we are part of a community, and that He doesn't want us to have to handle everything by ourselves. That's when it's time to reach out to your pastor or to some mature spiritual friends or a professional pastoral counselor or other folks who can give you the resources that you need to work through these things. But whatever frustration you're feeling, don't beat yourself up for that frustration. Don't try to repress the frustration. Don't try to ignore the frustration. See it as a call from the Holy Spirit to your heart to step back and learn new ways of approaching that persistent problem. If we can help you find those new ways, we hope you'll reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com, where we can hook you up with a faithful, professional Catholic counselor to help you transform your marriage, family, and personal life in the light of God's grace. That's CatholicCounselors.com to learn more about our work and how we can help you transform your marriage, family, and personal life. That's all the time we've got for today's program. Thanks so much for tuning in. Until next time, remember that with God's grace, there is so much more to life. Have a blessed day.
To Life is a co-production of CatholicCounselors.com, Ave Maria Radio, and EWTN Radio, and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. For copies and downloads of this program, and for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.